We were nearing the back entrance. I was feeling chilled to the bone, and Doris's enthusiasm had started to wane. "Do we have to look at every single stall?" she moaned. "Come on then, Mrs. D. Let's get you to the Tupperware." We headed back to the ramp, past the desk and on upstairs. I raced ahead to get the blood circulating, hopefully all the way to my fingertips. "Which way?" I said once we had both reached the central court. "It's right up the back." She led the way. It was much lighter and brighter up here, and the layout was markedly different. In the central court, glass cabinets were lined up shoulder to shoulder along the length of some of the walls. Beyond, a wide aisle cluttered with wares led to various office spaces given over to large displays. It was a confusing layout, haphazard feeling at first, and fun. Although, the wares were not as photographically inviting as those down on the ground floor, and I slipped my camera into my bag. At last, after much dodging and weaving, we arrived at a small stall filled with coloured plastic. There were containers of all shapes and sizes, many with lids, arranged by colour on shelves lining the stall and on a central display. Doris seemed to know exactly where to find the lid she was after. She waved it at me and grinned. "What luck?" I offered no reply. Luck had nothing to do with it. No one was going to come into the market on a mission to buy that very lid. Some things were so improbable they were impossible. "Are we done?" I thought we were. There was only the area on the far side of the Tupperware, and then we could walk back down the other half of the upper level to complete the tour. We started wandering around the antique furniture. I was admiring a large dresser, thinking of where I would put it, when Doris murmured, "Ruth?" It was the low tone of her voice. It was the way she had said my name. It was the way she appeared frozen to the spot that made me turn straight away. She was standing between a cabinet and a dining table. I went over and found her staring down at her feet. As I grew closer, I saw that she was staring at a body lying face down on a Persian rug. Blood oozed from the back of the head. It was a man. I took note of the jeans, the blue shirt. His face was pointing the other way. I went around him and knelt down by his side to see if he was breathing. He was, but his face was contorted with pain. "You'll be all right," I said. "We'll get help." He strained to speak. I leaned closer to him.
"I didn't do it," he whispered.
"Didn't do what?" I wondered. I sat back on my haunches and gave Doris a desperate look. "Go and get Joe." She rushed away. I sat for a moment in disbelief. When I lowered my gaze back to the man's face, he was barely conscious. Then he exhaled. It was his last breath. The journalist in me kicked in. While Doris was gone, I glanced around to make sure I was alone. I was. Seizing the moment, I dipped my hand in my bag, pulled out my camera, and took a few discreet shots of the corpse. It felt macabre, but also somehow vital. As I put the camera away, my heart started pumping fast. I felt a rush of adrenaline course through me. It wasn't the first time I'd witnessed a death, but the other time was different. It was in a hospital, and the person dying was Mum. Right now, I didn't know whether to stay and guard the body or leave it and find Doris. After a few moments of indecision, I headed off. I arrived back at the desk as Joe was finishing a call to the police. Bob hovered nearby and Doris stood in front of the counter. Thinking quickly, I took out my phone. Better to voice record than rely on notes. Less obvious, too. I wasn't entirely sure what I was doing, as none of this would appear in my feature piece, but instinct had taken hold and I was curious at the very least, especially as I knew who that body belonged to. David Fisk. I tucked the phone in my jacket pocket with the microphone pointing at the desk. "It's a terrible thing to have happened," I said, standing beside Doris. "Who would do such a thing?"
"Doesn't bear thinking about," Joe said.
"I can't help thinking that whoever did this was in here just now, and unless they're hiding somewhere in the building, they walked right past this desk on their way out."
"Could have been anyone," Bob said dismissively.
"Not anyone," I corrected, in that moment finding him as annoying as Doris did.
"Could have been Kathy Williams. Could have been Brad Taylor. They were here," she said.
"Don't be ridiculous,"